If it was the other way around, I'm sick and tired of saying this, but if it was the other way around, and if it was someone on the so-called right who was saying this about people on the left, if it was me saying this, cut their throats about a Mohammedan, I would be in jail straight away. Say the same for you. It's the context, never mind the intent. The two-tier system is what's riling people up.
I've been speaking a bit to someone who wishes to remain anonymous, who is in tears almost every day about the things that have been done to them. By this government for nothing. And all I say every day is the same thing, which is like, the way you're feeling now is exactly how they want you to feel. Yeah. That's how they want you to feel. These people want you to feel terrified. And they say to me, well, what shall I do? And I say, well, the thing is, then you speak up more. And
you double down.
I don't see another way of dealing with communists. Except going, I'm going to destroy your ideas with questions. Welcome to another episode, the final episode where Calvin Robinson is on British soil of Fox and Father. It's a show where Calvin tutors me in the ways of righteousness and tries to show me a brighter and better way forward. But he's decided he's going to stop tutoring me in the ways of righteousness because he's leaving, the bastard.
You can't say that.
Well, I can, and I am.
If you're not righteous by now, you've got no hope.
we're still going to carry on, and we're going to do our joyful conversations from overseas as we get increasingly more jealous. Anyway, welcome to Fox and Father with me, the Fox, and him,
the Father.
There we are. Let's start off. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm all right. This is my last weekend here. I'm off to the States on Sunday. I can't wait to actually get out of here. Right now, I'm back in London for the first time in a while. I'm staying over here because there's the March for Life tomorrow. We record, and I intend to go to the March for Life before I zip off. It's one last thing I want to do. Show support for such a great movement. Isabel Vaughan-Spruce is pretty much heading it up, and she's a good woman, and there are lots of good people involved. But the message is the sanctity of life is paramount, and that all human life is sacred. You know, something that you tweet about every day.
It all starts there, doesn't it? Until you can agree with the fact that all human life is sacred, I think you're a danger to yourself and others. Do you know what I mean?
I do. And it's still the biggest killer of people in this country or in the West. We look at any death rates and abortion far outnumbers all of them. And it's very sad that people seem to not realize and or care. So it'd be good, actually, if we could educate people on what happens when a child is aborted and the different stages it's done in different ways, whether it's like pulling their limbs apart or starving them, or vacuuming them out. It's quite abhorrent each step of the way, but I don't think people realize. They think it's just a medical procedure and it's all, standard procedure. It's not. There's nothing standard about killing unborn babies.
No, there really isn't. And once it's that massive irony of my body, my choice, but it's not your body, therefore it's not your choice. It's a completely unique set of DNA. I mean, most people fit somewhere in the middle. And they say a bunch of cells is not a human being, and other people live where you do and I increasingly do, which is that life begins at conception.
We're all a lump of cells, really.
Yeah, you're a lump of cells.
So are you.
You massive lump of cells. I'm really good. I'm back from Greece, as you can tell, and I am sorting out the house still, and it's really nice to build a home, and I'm actually going to convert one of the little outbuildings into a studio, a proper studio, so I'm not sat in front of my piano, and I can have a proper studio so I can start doing some more content, and I can have a nice, I can sort of combine it with a man cave. So I'm good.
Have you got a rabbit hutch yet? I mean, not rabbit, chicken hutch, coop.
Yeah, I got four chickens.
Have you?
Yeah. I've got a Rhode Island Red, and then I forget the names of the other ones. I've just let them out in the top bit of the garden, and they're rummaging around. And then once the dogs have decided that they don't want to kill them, which is going to be interesting, I will then let them down into the bit where the dogs are because I want them to scratch around and make that nicer again. Because chickens have an amazing habit of, I mean, they destroy certain things like flower beds and stuff, but grass, chicken crap for grass is like, it's their favorite thing in the world.
Birds,
So,
answer, yeah.
yeah, so it's really good. So I'm happy. I'm sad you're going. I'm not going to lie. I'm slightly res I'm in that, in the stages of grief, anger, denial. I'm still in anger.
Well, we had a nice weekend. After Emma and Alex's wedding, I came to stay at yours and in your country retreat, and that was lovely.
It was so
We
good to have
walked
you.
the dogs, spent time with the kids, and it was really nice.
It was lo really lovely, but yeah, I'm angry that you're going. I want to know what how you two things. First of all, I know you did it with Dan, and it was very good what you did to Dan. But I suppose I would like to speak on a more emotional level, as to why you're going on an emotional level and how you feel about going on an emotional level, because you've explained the reasons, and we all know the reasons.
That's such a Lawrence Fox question. First of
Oh.
all, if people don't know what Lawrence is alluding to, I did an interview on Dan Morton Outspoken where I outlined why I'm going. But it is bittersweet. Of course, it's bittersweet. So I'm going because I'm called by God to a parish. This parish ministry has been lined up for me for the past year, which is why Lawrence has been hinting and alluding to this on the Fox and Father show since the beginning, really. But it's just been accelerated because of the current state of affairs in the UK. And it doesn't feel safe here. It doesn't feel good here. I mean, London now, as I say, for the first time in a while, it's dark, it's heavy, it's just not nice. It's not a good place to be. But I'm gonna miss you. I'm gonna miss my friends, my family. This week I've spent time with my mother, spent time with my father, and just been visiting friends. Tonight I'm having supper with the people I got confirmed with, and just spending time with people. I spent time at your house, and that was lovely. And because I'm going to miss everyone, and that's the hard bit. But the exciting bit is that I get to be a full-time parish minister and really learn my craft. Essentially, my vocation is serving people in a community, and I've tried my best to do that in London. But I'm being called to a place where I'm going to have a better chance at doing that, and that's a wonderful thing. And there's all kinds of things that can come out of that.
I kind of think that England is America. Obviously, I've spent a bit of time in America. You spent much more time in America than I have recently, and in more wholesome and better parts. But I still think in America they take God seriously. And I don't. I mean, our own Church of England doesn't take God seriously in England. So, we feel like a very secular nation, and at the very best and at the very worst, we've replaced God with the God of woke and diversity, equity, and inclusion. And it's so it feels like a godless, soulless, joyless place, which is what socialism does. So, I mean, I don't blame you at all for wanting to get out. I think you're gonna thrive in a place where people take things as seriously as you do. I think it's a natural fit.
Thank you. I think it is. I'm so fed up with so much of stuff at home. I love home. I love England. I love Britain. Of course I do. But I'm fed up with the fact that people just still won't wake up. And so many people don't see what's going on. Like, this country is getting darker and darker, and people won't wake up. And even the conservatives and the Christians just sit back and just watch the country implode around them, expecting everything to be okay. Everything won't be okay unless we act. I don't see how we can turn things around. Like, we have a socialist government who are pretty much neo-communist with a lot of their policies, but we've got the current demographics show that the current trajectory, at least, of the demographics show that this country will become an Islamic country, predominantly Islamic country, in no time at all, unless we do something about it. But no one seems to care. I mean, not no one. Some people do care. The hardest thing has been certain people on our side have taken it quite hard, and I can understand that. But I really do think it bothers me when these people with anonymous names and anonymous avatars say, "How dare you run from the fight?" I'm like, "Well, where are you in the fight? You're not there. You haven't been there for the past few years when you and I have been fighting. Where are these no-name, no-face people?" It's like they literally want us to be martyred for them. They want us to be sacrificial lambs for them. So many people don't want to fight themselves, but they want us to fight on their behalf. Well, no, get out there and fight. If you love your country, if you want to save it, do something about it. You can't expect the rest of us to do it all for you. And yes, we have been fighting a good fight for a long time, but we can't do it on our own.
That was the other question I wanted to ask you, was how you felt about the response. Like Nick Lowles, that horrible little Penfold from Danger Mouse, sitting there going, praise, not praise the Lord, however happy and thrilled he was about it. And I'm like, I don't want Nick Lowles to leave this country of his home, to feel like he's forced out of the country of his home. I don't want Nick Lowles to feel that. I want him to be exposed for what he is, and I want his ideas to be challenged. But I don't want him as a person to feel that he's actually not even safe in his own country.
These people have no
And
compassion. They don't care. And for the record, there has been a lot of good support, a lot of good encouragement from both Englishmen and Americans who've been saying welcome to the fight, because people appreciate that the fight isn't here, at least not yet. The fight is in America, which is where I'm going. But the hateful, hostile, liberal lefties have been rejoicing. Of course, they're rejoicing because they hate us. They hate what we stand for. They hate the truth. They hate Christ. And fundamentally, they want us and him out of their country so that they can be degenerate, indecent, horrible people with no one to challenge them for all their ideas. But what can you do about it? People like Nick Lowles and Hope Not Hate, they're in bed with the government, and the government love their commie nonsense at the moment. So there's very little retort.
It's really, I really, it's one of the things I really, really struggle with in just like thinking about what forgiveness is. And thinking about people who rejoice when, just on a personal level, when I lost my acting career, they were thrilled. And they talk a good game in compassion. So I can understand if they really hate me that they would want me to suffer. I mean, I'm not like that, but I can understand why they would want me to suffer. But I don't understand if they are what they claim to be, which they obviously we know they're not, why they would want my kids to suffer.
Because they are horrible people, essentially.
Yeah.
Albion Mkoda
But
is a good example. He has attacked me so many times. He lost his job at GB News, like we did, and I said I would fight to the death for his right for freedom of speech. I didn't agree with what he said, but I think he should have the opportunity to say it. Now, as I've announced I'm leaving, I understand that he said something nasty about it, so I haven't seen what he said. But the whole point is that they will continue to rejoice at our misery, whereas we will stand up for them. That's the difference between us and them, really. And they can virtue signal all they like about how nice they are, but they're not good people. They're really not.
No, they're not. And but what are we meant to do? We have to forgive them and move on, and or do we just, I
Yeah,
mean,
we
I just
forgive
put.
them, but we also need to show them a better way. And that their way is just horrible, and they're making the country a worse place.
Speaking of making the country a worse place, Ricky Jones, who is now going on, he's was appeared in court this morning, where he's pleaded not guilty to encouraging the commission of a violent offence.
This is shocking.
I'm like, what's your defence, mate? Is it like I was dubbed, Your Honour, or I was lip synced? I mean, at what point do you go, I'm really sorry, you put pop up courts for paedophile apologist judges to sentence people to extortionate sentences for saying words much, much less appalling than what he said and what others on the left have said. And somehow the man's granted a 5-day trial in January. What do you need a 5-day trial for? Just watch the video. It's
For
like, if ever anything was open and shut, it would be that, wouldn't it?
people that aren't aware, this is the former Labour councillor who was out there in the riots saying that the so-called far-right thugs need to have their throats cut. Was he Mohammedan? He looked kind of the type.
I'm not sure, but I mean, it's not really a very, sorry if I sound like a far right extremist, but sort of very English way of wanting to punish someone, is it?
It's
To
not.
say to encourage the commitment of that act. It is a very it's associated with all the things that are blotted into my head, and I'm sure a lot of people younger than me's head. Of those dreadful pictures of Jihadi John with Daniel Pearl and others doing exactly what Ricky Jones was calling for in the streets of London. So, in my view, that's incitement to murder I don't know why he's got encouraging a criminal, the commission of a violent offence. It's like that's incitement to murder. So he's going to have a 5-day trial in January. But I don't understand why he's been granted a trial. He's pleaded not guilty. I suppose everyone is entitled to a trial. I wasn't entitled to a trial by jury in front of my peers when people call me racist. I wasn't entitled to that. So I don't understand why he's entitled to it. I think, it's just another symptom of how unbelievably dreadful this country is. And I hate to be all pessimistic and only and down, but the thought of you getting out, and I know it'll be bittersweet and all of that sort of stuff, but the thought of you getting out, I just go, I get it 100%. So much of your life is your environment that you live in. And I mean, we're very blessed here. I'm very blessed with Lizzie, and I'm very blessed with the fact that I'm not near any of this crap anymore. But it's just so depressing. Britain, it's so where are and I know what you've got this thing about like where's the fight in people, where's the fight in people, but we don't have one. We have a lost generation of feminists and man-haters who won't have children, and if they get pregnant they abort them immediately. It's like, where are the families being built that are going to that are the only resistance to tyranny? Where are these families? They are there because we've seen them on our rallies. More of that information later, by the way. And I think your environment is so crucial to how you feel, how you connect with the world, how you engage with the world. And so much of our environment has been taken away from us
It makes an
that
impact on your well-being. So one of my, well, a few of my Instagram followers commented saying, "We knew this. We knew you were going to America." I was like, "What do you mean? This is, look, your photographs. You're always traveling. Your photographs when you're in America. You're doing the same thing. You're speaking out publicly, but you're smiling. When you're in England, you look like as miserable as the rest of us." And I thought that's very, very telling, because it feels that way. It really does. We can continue doing what we're doing from wherever we are, but there's a dark cloud over this nation, and there's not yet people willing or ready to fight for it. But this former Labour councillor is abhorrent. He is it should be open and shut case. He is there on film saying we need to cut their throats. You're right, that is incitement to murder, not just incitement to violence. And the fact that he's pleading not guilty, I mean, on what basis can you say you're not guilty? We've all seen it for our own eyes. It's shocking, this two-tier justice system. I bet he's going to get away with it. If I mean, he'll probably get a suspended sentence, if anything.
If he gets away with it, there'll be a riot. If he gets away with it, there will be a proper riot, I would guess. I mean, I'm not condoning or encouraging people to do so. In fact, quite the opposite, because they want you to get out there and be violent so they can clamp down on you even more.
But look at the people he was targeting. This is the problem, the context. He was targeting the so-called far-right thugs, the ordinary British people who would be labelled far-right by the hard left, by our government and the rags of the lefty media. But if it was the other way around, I'm sick and tired of saying this, but if it was the other way around, and if it was someone on the so-called right who was saying this about people on the left, if it was me saying cut their throats about a Mohammedan, I would be in jail straight away. Say the same for you. It's the context, never mind the intent. The two-tier system is what's riling people up.
I've been speaking a bit to someone who wishes to remain anonymous, who is in tears almost every day about the things that have been done to them by this government for nothing. And all I say every day is the same thing, which is like the way you're feeling now is exactly how they want you to feel. That's how they want you to feel. These people want you to feel terrified. And they say to me, "Well, what should I do?" And I say, "Well, the thing is, then you speak up more."
So you
And
double down.
I don't see another way of dealing with communists except going, "I'm going to destroy your ideas with questions." All you have to do is ask these people questions, and it happens, and all of their ideologies, the minute it comes and hits them on their own doors, like the Venezuelans in Colorado taking over various places and all of that stuff, all of this defund the police, the minute you just see them, their position switch, the minute the chickens come home to roost in their backyard, they get fully upset because their ideology, their stupid, pathetic, ridiculous death wish ideology doesn't work. in any rational and reasonable world. So what they do is they only cry and whimper when it's someone else's problem. It's the same with the climate hypocrites and all of this sort of stuff. And you've got Ed Miliband saying, "Well, we've got £75 million new clean energy program." Just don't. Honestly, Ed, until it works, can we stick with a bit of petrol? You lose your ideology just because you wish you could power Britain with breath from the wind. That it doesn't mean you can, because you can't. And that's not to say that one shouldn't invest. But we're looking, we're told that the British economy is going to crash unless they save £1.2 billion on the elderly, on heating the elderly. Unless we save that £1.2 billion, the British economy is going to crash. What did we spend on track and trace? 35 billion. What are we spending on foreign climate aid? 11 billion. It's like, make it make sense is I think one of the things that we've got to start asking people. But as you say, just no one's got fight in them. But that is the
Not even the people,
classic.
not even the people that others think have fight in them. So many of the people that we know are just looking out for their careers. They're just looking out. But basically, a lot of people want to be on television, which is what it comes down to, for no particular reason. It's stupid. I was looking at the GB News ratings this week, right? Take, for example, Patrick Christie's, right? 43,000 people tuning in for what used to be the flagship show on the Downton, right? And I'm not here to diss Patrick Christie's. The point I'm making is that it's
Do you know what
nothing.
you do? Do you
There's
know what?
absolute zero impact there. Nobody's watching, but they will censor themselves in order to keep that job because it seems prestigious and they want to be, oh, look, I'm on TV. But they're not really fighting. They're not really making an impact. When they invite Theo, what's his name, Usherwood on, and they sit there nodding ahead and let him spout his hard left, racist nonsense, they're not helping the fight, these people.
Yeah, someone very close to me who I love dearly, and you know who it is, but let's not say, described Patrick Christie's when they saw Patrick Christie's for the first time as the poor man's David Walliams.
I mean, I'm not here to disrespect Patrick. He's just a prime example. We could be talking about Emily
No,
Carr.
I am. I'm sorry. He
No.
sagged me off.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
He sla he sagged me off. He sagged you off. He sagged anyone off. And what you're pointing out, I'm really sorry. I know you're all good at this and all of that sort of stuff. But those people that threw one under the bus and who've been thrown under the bus themselves, and they will be, that those that feed the crocodile in the hope that it will eat them last, I find them worse than leftists.
Yeah, no, I
Because
agree. They are adulterers.
at least with a leftist, you know what they want. It's like they want you dead. And at least you know that. Whereas with these lot, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. So I'm very happy to take a pop at those people. I also don't understand just bringing David Walliams back into it. These people did blackface relentlessly. And what did they do? They just release a little statement saying, "Yeah, we wouldn't do that. We're sorry." And it's like, "Oh, don't worry, leftists. We forgive you because you're." And it's like, why don't we do that on our side of the argument? I don't understand. I don't understand why we don't stick up for ourselves. Like you say, why? Where's our fight? Where's our, why are the Reform Party building a do not associate with list? It's like crying out loud, guys.
Because they all want to be seen as nice and reasonable and moderate, so they get invited to the right social clubs, the right part of the establishment. They want to be part of the elite. They don't actually want to make a difference. They don't want to fix the country. All these people involved in reform, all the ones that everyone's like, oh, isn't that great? That guy's great, up and coming now, isn't he? And that guy's great. No, they're not. They are all complicit crocodile feeders, absolute wets under the cover, because they're all fearsome. None of them want to truly stand up. They all want to be a part of the in-group. That is all it comes down to, all of
Yeah,
them.
the grown-ups table. Like I said, let's be positive and hopeful for a minute,
Where's
because even
the hope, Lawrence?
I well even I who have a huge capacity for misery if I want, even I am thinking, I reckon when you land on those shores and you find yourself and again, and you're around people that encourage and enable you in the right way towards the right sort of thing, I think you're going to feel like a completely different human being. I think it's going to be, I think it'll be tough because I think you're leaving a lot behind, but also you're not leaving it forever. I think this is going to enrich you in a way that you possibly don't even, you can't even begin to understand yet. I think it's going to be, it'll be the making of you. And then also, it's going to make me laugh so much because this will happen. Prediction, show this show in a year's time. Calvin will be a bigger star than any of these people who want to be on TV for the one reason and the one reason alone, which he's only interested in the truth. That's all he's interested in. And you get so beaten up, not you, but one does, beaten up and shut on and berated just for telling the sodding truth. And I'm with you. It's just, it gets to the point where you just go, enough. But I'm not going to leave because I've got a nice view out there and there's a farmer doing a field.
It takes both on both fronts. So we need someone to stay, and some of us need to go and regroup. And we're doing both between us, so it's helpful.
We are. And so the other thing I wanted to ask you in terms of like the global attack on Christianity itself, I think actually the I think you've said this to me before, but this attack this idea of white privilege and colonialism and white guilt and all of the dreadful things the West did, I don't really think it's an attack on white people, I've decided, because otherwise they wouldn't attack you and others. I think it's an attack on Christianity itself, because I don't think there's another religion that I know anything at all about which it can resist this level of tyranny more than Christianity can. So I actually have come to the conclusion this whole idea of like white privilege and all of the Kehinde Andrews. Oh, by the way, I saw he got a visit from the police.
It did. Good. We have to start using their own weapons against them, right? So Kehinde Andrews called me, among others, coconut, coon, house negro. What's the other ones? I can't even remember. Just these horrible slurs, racial slurs.
Oreo.
Coconut. I don't think he said it earlier, but it doesn't really matter. They're just horrible terms that people shouldn't be using generally. But he thinks he can get away with it because he's on the far left, and he's so-called race professor or whatever it is, basically indoctrinating another generation to this neo-Marxist claptrap. Anyway, he called me these names. I thought, no way can you get away with that. If I did it the other way around, I would be in prison again. So let's try it. Let's try the system. Let's try this two-tier system. So I reported him to the police. He's had a visit from the police, and let's see what happens. But I had an email from the Independent this week saying, "I understand you have complained about this video. Would you care to comment?" And to which I replied, "No, I wouldn't care to comment to the Independent. Thank you very much." The same outlet that was attacking me just a few days ago, saying something about anti-immigrant becoming an immigrant or something, just the obtuse nature of not understanding the difference between mass immigration and controlled immigration and illegal immigration and legal immigration. Because of course they know the difference, but they want a line of attack. Anyway, no, I'm not going to help you lefty rag. I'm not going to give you some bait to spin my words against me. Right, whatever you want. But I know if it was me saying racial words, being racially attacking someone, they would clamp down hard and condemn it. So I hope they condemn the person on their own side too.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I've got a appointment next week at 3 o'clock in at a police station in North London to complain about to make sure that the police do their work in pursuing Narinder Kaur for calling me a sex offender.
Good.
So yeah, I'm going to make sure that the police are doing their hardest work there because it's important. I had this debate with Steve Laws this week.
Ah, yes. How did it go? How do you feel it went?
I think there were, I was really saddened, if I'm honest, because it reminded me just how huge the gulf is on our side of the equation, which is that someone like, I think I was saying to Steve my position, which is you've just iterated yourself, I mean, explained yourself, which is like there's a difference between mass and uncontrolled immigration and positive immigration, which I think is actually an okay thing. I've got no beef with it. He has, he's really, 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 really far over to the side of remigration and all of that sort of stuff. And there are conversations to be had about it, but I think it was okay because I just asked questions. I wanted to know how deep he'd thought about it. And he has thought about it quite deeply, but I don't think he's thought about it deeply enough. And he kept calling me a retard whenever I said anything that he didn't like. And I thought that was kind of rude. So he sort of ad hominemed. I bet he's got a huge support. So that's I found very depressing because we think that the woke problem and the extremist problem, well, not we don't think that, but people are can be sort of suckered into believing that the woke problem only exists on the left, but it doesn't exist on the right as well. So and especially on the far right, which is where I would put Steve Laws. And it was an interesting debate because you put some logical questions to him about the fact that England is a white country, for example. That was where he said it's a white country. So, therefore you would not be allowed in. You'd have to go to Jamaica, a country you have, the only affiliation you have is by your father, and it's not like you've spent a million, you know it backwards. And but my point was about Lizzie. So I said, so Lizzie would have to go. Yeah. And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, where? Where does she go? Does she go?
That's a good question because,
Does she go to California? Does she go to Puerto
right.
Rico? Does she go back to Africa? Where does she go? And then the second thing I said to him, which he didn't like, was if Lizzie's dad had been white and she was here as an immigrant, you'd be fine with that, wouldn't you, Steve? And he would. And that, so to me, that makes me think. It took me about 45 minutes to an hour to get to the point, but I just said, I just can't. That has to be racism. I don't really. I can't hear a way out of it, which isn't racism.
Well, I'm somewhere in between, I would say. I think we need a moratorium on immigration. I think we need a cap, so no more immigration. But I can't get to the point of repatriation. I think we should export, or sorry, we should deport anyone who came here recently that is a sponger, so is taking more than they're putting in, or anyone that is a criminal, absolutely. But I don't think there's a possible way to repatriate people, especially if they've been here for generations, because being here if you are part of the culture and you've been in this culture for generations, then that inherently makes you part, well, it makes you British, right? And so it's about more than just meddling counts. I think it's just a very surface deep conclusion. But at the same time, I understand it. I do, England should remain predominantly white because it's a predominantly white country. That's not a good or a bad thing. It's just a fact. It just is. But where Steve pushes the line is like, yeah, Lizzie is a good example, myself too. So my father's father was born in Jamaica. I visited there once. It's not my home. I don't speak the lingo. I don't have the citizenship. I don't have the passport. But what if Jamaica had the same policy as Steve Laws as England? What if Jamaica said, no, Jamaicans are black people only. You're not black. You're not welcome here. And England says, no, England's for white people only. You're not white. You're not welcome here. Then we're literally, where do people like me go? Like second generation on one side. But then, and how many generations does it matter? How do you factor this in? My mum's side of the family have been English all the way back, as far as we can find. And so 52% of my genetics is English, 48% is Northwest Africa. But again, I've never been to Northwest Africa. It's just where that lineage came from. So a lot of it makes logical or practical sense, but it's all emotive, isn't it? This is the problem. But of course, people want to protect what is their own. And England has been a predominantly white country since, or forever, and so it should remain so. But that doesn't mean you have to stop being racist to people because of the color of their skin and saying you're not welcome here because of the color of your skin. You say it's this, there has to be a cap on immigration or cut immigration entirely, or yes, deport criminals and people that do not integrate. But you cannot just deport people based on the color of their skin. That is when you get to racism.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think that they will, in the end of the day, what will happen is we've got a lost generation here. So the generation who, and we've lost generations before, in wars and things like that. But this generation who refused to breed, and the perfect storm of that, and a combination of uncontrolled immigration with a lot of people who do want to breed, and who don't see the home nation as a nation, they just see it as a place to continue to spread the ideology that they follow. I think is a terrible, a perfect storm of major problems for Britain in the next generation. And those of us who have children need to really, really think about it. But I also don't think the answer to that is racism. If any British politician, and we now know that British politicians don't do anything, they're just patsies for what the people behind the scene. You can see that with the fact that America currently doesn't have a leader. That any British politician who turned around and said, we're going to stop any form of illegal immigration to this country today, anyone who said that would be voted in as prime minister within at the beginning of the next parliament, I would suggest, wouldn't you?
I'm not as convinced as you. I really don't see our political system working anymore. I don't know who would say that or who would get those votes. I can't see it in practice, unfortunately. I can't see anything changing. The Uni Party will continue. I think in the next general election, Labour will get in again, unfortunately, and it's going to take 10 years for any real change. So two election cycles, but Reform are already losing their momentum that they've built up because it's just, centered around one man's ego. Nothing else is really making a dent at the moment. The Conservatives included, they're dead in the water. They're still not learning from their old ways. I can't see a way to change things yet, but it's going to take time. And we've all got to kind of dig in and try to change the message.
Yeah, and a lot of that is actually being hopeful. So, which brings me on to the fact that breaking news, as far as we understand, and God willing and permitting, there will be another rally
Hey.
on the 26th of October, and this is 3 days before Tommy is due to be seen, due to go to court. And we all know how that's going to end up. So we've been talking about it, putting it together. But what we want to do is we want to move the whole thing forward. So we want to start involving everybody in it, and in a simple set of principles and pledges that people are going to make for themselves. And we're going to give out a, to those that are going to want to be part of this, we're going to give them. They'll have a little badge that will go, I do not, well, I'll show you what it looks like at some point later when I've got one around. And it'll be people's way of, in their gentle English way, of putting a middle finger up to those that want to conquer us. So we're gonna put together a rally. I think it's going to be the 26th of October, and I hope that we can get everyone who's upset out. And it's exponentially grown in size every time. And I think that this will be the same again, and you won't be there, which is a shame because we need you there. But we'll have you broadcast a big message from the screen, I hope.
Yeah, I had bookmarked the 12th of October, hoping that it was going to be that date, but unfortunately it's a bit later, so I won't be able to be there, but I will send a message. These rallies are important. I mean, not rallies, they're like festivals, aren't they? It's like almost like a, well, it is a celebration of Britain and our culture. So keep these things going, keep the momentum going, and give people an outlet that is positive, that they're able all to partake in and feel involved in something good.
And we need to start a movement that can affect voting as well. In the same way that the Muslim vote did it, we've got to start our own movement, which is, which ties in, and we've got to get people to work hard on the ground and build it up from the bottom. And I think that's what it will do. And also, we've got to really look at the way that they're going to go after Tommy Robinson because, that's that again. It's just really playing with fire on behalf of the regime. They're little bastards, I think. What else do I want to ask you? I wanted to ask you about the Pope.
He's not a good pope, is he?
So, should we put some context into this?
So he has been speaking to in Indonesia to an audience of predominantly Mohammedans, I think 87% Mohammedans, and he says something. He said, "Let me give you a benediction. Let me give you a blessing." And he said, "This is for everyone because we are many different religions, but we believe in one God." Now that's a grave, grave heresy. That is universalism, something I talk about a lot at the moment, it seems, because it's part of this one world government, one world religion, hashtag coexist, evil, evil nonsense. And it's a great shame to see the Pope falling into that trap because we're not all believers in the same God. My God is the Holy Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus Christ is my God. He died on the cross for me. He offers me salvation. And that's not what the Mohammedans believe or anyone else believes. And the Bible is very clear on this, that the only way to the Father is through the Son. The gateway to heaven is a narrow gate. The first commandment, there is a, thou shalt only obey the one true God. There is only one God. Do not follow false gods. Like all of these parts of the scripture come together. The whole message of the scriptures is basically there is one true living God, and we are to worship him. And anyone not worship him should be offered the chance to worship him, because we are given free will. We're not an oppressive faith, but we should be showing people the way to Jesus Christ, because that's the only way to the Father, which is the only way into heaven. And so to lie to people, say we all believe in the same thing anyway, is leading them towards damnation. And the Pope did this on purpose. You know, he left out, when you bless someone with the benediction, you do the sign of the cross, right? He left out the sign of the cross on purpose, the sign of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the sign of Jesus' resurrection on the cross. Like, to leave that out is leaving out Christian faith.
Well, I was thinking of, I've been thinking for a long time about Catholicism because I think it's one of the last refuges of actual Christianity. And he just popped that bubble for me in a minute. I just thought, no one is, you're meant to be the closest thing to God we've got on earth, and yet not even you.
Yeah, but just because he is a fallen individual, he's flawed and he's a sinner like the rest of us. But that doesn't mean that Catholicism is the same. He is not Catholicism. He is just a Catholic like the rest. There's nothing preventing the faith from being true just because he is a bad pope.
And maybe that's what we're learning. Maybe we're learning that what's Tate always calls it the matrix, doesn't he? But maybe we are learning that, just because someone puts on a white gown and a cap and walks around in the Pope or drives around in the Popemobile, it's still just a man under there. And in the same way, if a person wakes up in the morning, has a shower, and then puts on a police uniform, that doesn't make them a policeman, it just makes them a person in a uniform. Like, I'm starting to think that my cognitive dissonance is so large at the moment. I just look at him and I just go, you have no authority over me at all. I haven't done anything wrong. So I don't have the fear thing that other people have. I'm just like, you can intimidate and bully and frighten me. The only thing I am frightened of is being publicly executed on TV. So that my kids would have to see it. That's the only thing and it would only be for their sakes that I was frightened. So, I'm just starting to think that more and more people are opting out of what is loosely called the system, and becoming disenchanted and disenfranchised. But come the budget time, and come the fact that this Labour stuff really begins to bite, I think people are going to they're going to get more and more and more and more angry, and little things like if Ricky doesn't get the same application of justice as other people, I think people will be beyond furious. And and it's not nice saying that, and I certainly don't want it to happen, but I can't see how there is any way out of this except by a mass uprising of people. I don't.
There has to be a mass uprising. There has to be some kind of civil unrest, civil disobedience. I don't want to see a civil war, but something has to happen, whether that's a general strike or just a million people outside Downing Street. I don't know. There has to be a response.
Yeah, they have to know that we exist, I think, is the most important thing. And they have to know that not only do we exist, but we will be heard because we pay our taxes. And at the moment, we pay our taxes for your insane energy schemes and to give migrants free hotels, mobile phones, and cash cards.
What would
And
happen if everyone stopped paying their taxes?
well, the whole thing would crumble pretty quickly. But yeah, a mass non-payment of taxes. But then you think about who the people that would really affect, because how the regime would use that. They'd go straight back to the poor old people that they convinced us we were killing during COVID and say, look, you killed Granny, despite the fact that they're going to kill several grannies in this winter anyway, because of because Ed Miliband needs to build some more solar panels. So it's the thing that we need people to wake up from is the propaganda. And the great thing about that, and the most encouraging and hopeful thing, is once you wake up from the propaganda, you never ever go back to sleep. And that is the greatest part of it. And the other gift that the left keep giving is the fact that they overreach all the time. So we will be in a position to go, this is just unsustainable. It's just how quickly it happens. I'm not as pessimistic as you to think that it will be a two-term Labour government. I think Labour are in real trouble. But unless Reform and the Conservatives, and actually all of us on this side of the argument, can find some common ground and work together, you might be right. Labour may be due for another term, despite only 20% of the population voting for us. It should be a crime what these people have done, what successive governments have done to our country. This is our patch of land. You don't just leave the back door open if if someone's left to look after the house. You don't look after, and then you come home and find several new people living in your house. No, that's not how you do it. It's a crime to do that. It's called burglary and breaking and entering, and that's how and for some reason, for the sake of diversity, it's all fine. It's like bollocks to that, sorry. And along with the Notting Hill Carnival, the Home Office again tweeting out today about, violent disorder, and you better watch your back, Whitey. But, not a fucking word, sorry, about the Notting Hill Carnival.
But something can be done about it. And I know you've spoken to him. I had him on my show yesterday. Callum Smiles was out in France, right? On the border, he managed to stop some illegal immigrants crossing over with a dinghy just by being there and calling the police and saying, there they are, get them, arrest them. And that's what happened. Like, if people get out there with their gilets jaunes, like, just put your yellow vest on and police the borders yourselves, because there's no political will to do anything about it, doesn't mean the people can't have a will to do something about it.
Before we continue, I'd just like to talk to you about gold. Apparently, this company, Gold Bullion Partners, a few of our listeners have decided that while being faced with the tyranny of potential digital IDs and CBDCs and what where they can keep their money safely without it being removed from the government, they have come up with the idea of gold. Well, this is actually silver.
Well, I've got some gold.
I've got some gold too, but my gold's a little one.
Well,
So.
the problem is your money isn't yours if it's in the bank, and you can't rely on it. You can't trust the banks. So we've got to invest in assets.
No capital gains tax.
That's interesting.
No capital gains tax.
I've got a lot of friends who are buying gold and silver, actually.
Yeah, non-traceable. I'm buying silver because gold's a bit up there for me at the moment. I could probably get one of these, but this is legal tender.
Is it?
Yeah,
okay?
you could.
I wouldn't want to spend it though.
No, I'm just saying.
A lot of places aren't accepting legal tender anymore, and that's part of the problem. That the more we go to a cashless society, the more the government can control everything that we do. They can see every penny we spend. They can control where we spend it. That's not a good thing.
But gold and silver are holding their values beautifully in the
Absolutely.
world, and in times of trouble, people tend to lean and go towards gold and silver. So, Gold Bullion Partners, guys. Their link will be in the show notes, and if you so feel that you
Yes.
want to,
Absolutely. Do your own research, look into it.
And we will carry on buying it. Well, here we are, Calv. Your last few days on British soil for a while, and I'm going to miss you loads. But we'll be having our weekly catch-ups and our not, public and private, which will be good. And we'll plan a visit out to see you. And I think it's England's, as I've said frequently, I think it's England's great, great loss that that you are going. But I also think it's America's great, great gain. So I love you, and I wish you all the best in this venture.
Thank you. You've got to come out to Michigan as soon as possible. Let's do a Fox and Farmer in Michigan. That'd
We'll
be
do
great
one
fun.
at. We'll do one when we go around and do the presidential stuff as well, because I'm going to come out during that time.
Hashtag vote Trump.
Hashtag vote Trump to save the West.
Literally.
Literally. Well, brother, I love you, and it's great to talk to you, and I will speak to you on before you leave.
All right, God bless you. See you soon.
God bless.
Are you coming
Thanks
to the March
to
for
you.
Life?
I don't know at the moment. I'm trying to work it out.
All right.
I've got a couple of things which I'd planned before, but I'll see. I'll be there in spirit if I'm not there in presence. But we'll have to see. All righty.
Right, thanks you all
Love
for
you.
watching. God bless.
God bless.